Okay, so we're going to pick up in the Gemara Maseches Talmud, the bottom of Chav Zayin Amud Beis, 27b, three lines from the bottom of the page. The Mishnah had spoken about this concept of Shmira, that the Kohanim and Leviim in the Beis HaMikdash would stand guard every night, again, not to actually guard against thieves or anything substantive, but it was an honor guard. They stood guard in order to show a sense of respect and honor for the Beis HaMikdash. So we learn about an interesting halacha that was connected to this guarding. Three lines from the bottom of the page, Chav Zayin Amud Beis. Tnan Hosam, we learned there in a Mishnah on Midos, Ish Harabayis, the officer of the Harabayis of the Temple Mount, Oy Mechazer, called Mishmar Mishmar. He would make the rounds every night to each of the Kohanim and Levim who were standing guard. Vavukos dolkos lefanov, and he carried torches that were lit in front of him. V'chol mishma sheinu omid v'omer lo ish har habayis shalom alecha, and any watch who did not, when he passed by, would not stand up and say, oh, officer of the temple mount, shalom aleichem, and as anyone who did not greet him as he went by, nikr shehu yashen, it was obvious that that person was sleeping. And we pointed out earlier in the Gemara, the shomrim, the watchmen, were allowed to sit. They didn't have to stand the entire time. It wasn't like the Buckingham Palace, where the mamash just stood there. But you know, if they were allowed to sit down, but they weren't supposed to be dozing off either. So if he saw that, if this officer would recognize, would realize that one of the people, one of the Kohanim Levim, was sleeping, chovto b'maklo, he would bang him, he would hit him with his staff. More than that, v'shus ha'isalo l'srofes k'suso, the officer of the Harabayis was given permission to light the clothing of the person who was sleeping on fire. Again, I imagine this was done, it wasn't done in such a way that would inflict physical harm on him. I guess it was, you know, they had robes, so you lit the corner of the robe on fire, so the guy woke up quickly and put it out, but, you know, still, it's, you know, it's a little bit frightening. V'heim omrim, and people would say, Ma kol ba'azara, hey, what's that sound of screaming that's coming from the courtyard? You know what it is? Kol ben Levi loke, uvgadav nisrafim, shiyashin lo al mishmar. That must be the sound. That must be the sound of a Ben Levi who's being hit by the officer of the Harabayis, and his clothing is being set on fire because he fell asleep at his post while he was supposed to be watching. I guess this happened from time to time. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Elazar ben Yaakov said, "Pam achas matzu es achi imi yoshein." They once found my mother's brother sleeping. He was a Levi. V'sarfu es ksuso. And they lit his clothing on fire, you know. So it happened from time to time. It wasn't just a theoretical sort of thing. So the Gemara comments on this draconian measure that was taken at that time. Amr Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Kimata Rabbi Yochanan Bahamas Nisa. When Rabbi Yochanan would reach this Mishnah in Midos, where it described how they would, you know, set the clothing of the Levim on fire if they fell asleep at their post. Omar Hachi used to say as follows, Ashreyem l'rishonim, fortunate were the early generations, Shafilo al-onas shena osin din. So they would even hold a person accountable for falling asleep by accident. You know, nobody intended to fall asleep. They just, you know, they conked out. So they would hold the person accountable even for something that was somewhat beyond his control, something accidental, like falling asleep. Shelo alone es sheino, alachas kama v'kama. So how much more so when a person were to commit an aveiro, not through onus, not because it was beyond, not his intention, but where he did an aveiro intentionally, how much more so would they hold the person accountable? And Rabbi Yochanan says it was a good thing that they held the person accountable, because accountability is a positive thing. That the person should be held accountable for their actions is something positive, something that the earlier generations have, which, says Rabbi Yochanan, we in our own day lack. Tanya, in that respect, we learn in a braisa. Rabbi Omer, Ezu Derech Yishoshi, Varlo Ha'adam. Rabbi says, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi says, what is the proper path that a person should choose? Yohavis HaTochachos, he should love admonition, shekozman shetochachas ba'olam, because as long as there's admonition in the world, nachas ruach ba'olam, pleasantry comes into the world,
Tova bracha b'ayin la'olam, goodness and blessing come into the world. V'ra mistalekes min ha'olam, and evil departs from the world. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, v'lamochichim yin'am, because of those people who give tochacha, give rebuke, things will be pleasant. V'alehem tovo birkas tov, and because of them, the bracha of goodness will come about, as the pasuk in Mishle. Yesh omrim, others say, what is the proper derech that a person should cling to in this world? Yatzik be'emuna yaseira. He should cling to incredible emuna. Shenemar einai b'ne'emoi oretz b'losheves imodi. My eyes are upon those who are the ne'emone oretz, the people who have emuna in the world, and they will sit together with me. What's emuna yaseira? So we might think that it means tremendous faith in the sense of emuna on a Kodesh Baruch Hu. The commentary on the side over here says no. Not that that's a bad thing, but it says yisov itim b'nei adam be'emuna v'lo yanes abrios. It means over here integrity. A person should conduct his business with other people with integrity, and he shouldn't defraud people. And a person is a person of honesty and integrity. That's the most important thing that a person can accept upon himself. Amar Shul Baruch Meini Amar Rabbi Yonasan, Kol Mochiach Es Chaveru L'Shem Shamayim, anyone who admonishes his friend for the sake of heaven, Zoch L'Chelko Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he merits to have a portion with HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Shenemar Mochiach Adam Acharai, a person who rebukes someone else will be after me, says Hashem. In other words, you're following in the ways of Hashem. V'lo Od, not only that, El Shemosh Nolav Chutsho Chesed, the person who admonishes others brings a thread of chesed upon him. Shenemar chemz yimsa mimachlik lashon. A person will find chen, will find charm in the eyes of others. More if he does the right thing, you know. More if he admonishes people, more so than a machlik lashon. More so than a person who speaks glibly and allows people to overlook their faults. So, in other words, you know, the common denominator of these statements is the greatness of tochach, of admonition done right. The starting point for all of this, of course, is the admonition that was given to those kohanim and levim who would fall asleep at their post. That admonition included getting struck with a stick, getting your clothes burned. So, I guess, relatively speaking, if somebody just speaks to you and says, you know, you should really do a better job, we should consider that person getting off lightly. We go back, you know, the last little piece over here goes back to a portion of the Mishnah we learned earlier. Mitzvah no v'chule. Mishu rotsa l'trumas ha-mizbeach. The last part of the Mishnah talked about the concept of trumas ha-deshen, of taking off a piece of ash from the mizbeach and putting it on the floor of the azara, the first avoda that started off the day of the Beis HaMikdosh. And it said, someone, a Kohen who wanted to do trumas ha-deshen, would wake up early in the morning, and he would go to mikvah, right? And then it says that the person in charge of picking who would be the person who would be tarim the mizbeach would go around, and he would invite the kohanim who wanted to do trumas hadeshen to participate in a lottery, and whoever won the lottery would be picked to do the trumas hadeshen. So on that, the Gemara asks, "Hal guf akasha." There seems to be an internal contradiction in this Mishnah. Amart, on the one hand, you said, the person who wanted to do Trumas Hadeshen would wake up early and go to mikvah before the appointee from the Beis HaMikdash would come around. So Alma, so it seems to imply Lav B'Pais Talya Milsa, that it's not a function of being picked by a pious, by a lottery. In other words, if you wanted to do the Trumas Hadeshen, you just, you know, you were the early bird. The early bird gets the dashen. You woke up early, you went to the mikvah, and you kind of waited around, you know, and you didn't have to do anything else. But then the Mishnah continues, Yavo v'yafayis, right? In other words, you know, the mamuna, the appointee, goes around, and he says, anyone, if we could just put our phones on mute by pushing star six. If you could press star six, thank you very much. So Alma, v'hadatani yovo yufayis, right? So, and then it says that if somebody wants to engage in Trumas Hadeshen, he should, you know, the Mamuna would announce, anyone who wanted to participate in the Trumas Hadeshen, come be part of a lottery, and whoever's chosen by the lottery will do it. You see, there's the function of the lottery. So the Gemara first gives the answer of Abaye. Says Abaye, the Mishnah was actually written at two different points in history. The earlier part of the Mishnah was written before a certain enactment was made, and the latter part of the Mishnah that talks about the lottery was a later institution, and the latter part of the Mishnah talks about after the enactment of the lottery was introduced. What was the story? Why was there a lottery introduced? Disnan, so we learn a Mishnah in Maseches Yuma. Mishnah says as follows, Berishona, kol misharav sli Tumas HaMizbeach Torim. Originally, anyone who wanted to do the Tumas HaDeshen would just present himself. You know, he would just come forward and say, I want to do the Tumas HaDeshen. Bizman Shehem Erubin, when there were numerous people who wanted to do the Tumas HaDeshen, so they would have a race. Ratzin va'olin bekevesh, they would run up the ramp of the Mizbeach. Kol ha'kodim es chavir v'soch arba amos. Whoever got to the top arba amos, the top four amos of the Mizbeach, zocho, so he would win the race and he would do the Trumas HaDeshen. Hayu shnayim shovin. If two people got there at the same time, two kohanim, ha'memuna omer lahem, the appointee would say to them, hatzpiyu, stick out your fingers. Umayin motzian, what would they stick out? Achas eshtayim. They would stick out one or two fingers, and he would do some kind of version of eeny, meeny, miny, mo, in order to determine who would do the Trumas HaDeshen. Ve'en motzim goldo b'mikdosh. You were not allowed to stick out your thumb in the Beis HaMikdosh, because it was a little confusing as to, when you stuck out your thumb, as to, you know, whether you're doing one finger or two fingers. Ma'ise shahayu shneyen shavin rotzin va'olin ba'kevesh. It once happened, continues the Mishnah in Yuma, that two kohanim were running up the ramp onto the mizbeach together. And you know, one of them was very anxious to get to the top to win the race, so he pushed his friend. And the friend broke his leg. When the bezdin saw that it was dangerous to have this race to figure out who would get the Trumas HaDeshen, they instituted a lottery for the Trumas HaDeshen. So in other words, our Mishnah starts off reflecting the pre-lottery state of affairs. You just went to mikvah and you showed up. But then later on in the Mishnah, the latter part of the Mishnah already reflects post the institution of this lottery, where it describes how they did the lottery. Rava Amar, Rava says, you know, there's a different way to read the Mishnah. Maybe both parts of the Mishnah reflect the post-takana, the post-enactment reality, where they had the pious, where they had the lottery. And this is how you read the Mishnah. Anyone who wanted to do to make himself eligible for the lottery for the Trumas HaDeshen, and you don't automatically get it, but if you wanted to participate in the lottery, Mashkin v'tovel, you'd have to wake up early and go to the mikvah, Achal Yovo HaMemuneh, before such time the appointee would come around. Okay, so we've just finished the first Mishnah and the accompanying Gemara. We're now going to start the second part, the second Mishnah of the first parak, which is going to bring us to the end of the first parak itself. So, Natalas HaMafteach, the person who would be chosen, the Natalas HaMafteach, the appointee, the Memuneh, who we spoke about before, would take the key, Uposachas HaPishpesh, and we open up the little door that went from the Beis HaMokad into the Azara, V'nichas Beis HaMokad LaAzara, and he would use that little door to go in from the chamber of the fire into the courtyard, into the Azara itself. And all of the Kohanim who had been sleeping in the Beis HaMokad, in the chamber of the fire, would follow him. And they were holding two fiery torches. The Kohanim broke up into two groups. Some of them would walk eastward under an achsadra. An achsadra is an area that has columns and a roof on top. So they would walk through this achsadra to the east. And the others would walk on the achsadra towards the west. In other words, they would each walk around in different directions
around the periphery of the Azara, the courtyard, and they would check out everything as they walked, until they got to the chamber where the chavitin, the special pancakes which were brought by the Kohen Gadol on a daily basis, were prepared. When they got there, Elu ve'elu amru shalom akol shalom. Each group would say, everything is in order, everything is peaceful, everything is great. Hamidu osa chavitin lasos chavitin. And then they took some of their number to start making the chavitin, again, these pancakes, these menachos, which would be brought as a karbon by the Kohen Gadol on a daily basis. Now back to the Trumas Hadeshen. Misha zachal Trumas HaMizbeach, the one who was chosen to do Trumas Hadeshen, who Yitzram. So he would do the Trumas Hadeshen. Fehem Omrim, and the other Kohanim would say to him, Hevizor shlotiga bakli, ad shetekadish yodecho v'raglecho min akior. Be very careful not to touch the shovel which is used for the Trumas Hadeshen until you first wash your hands and feet from the kior, which every Kohen had to do before doing avoda. The halacha is that, you know, there's no prohibition per se touching the kli, touching the shovel used for Trumas Hadeshen without Kiddush Yodayim V'Raglayim. But since the Kohen who's going to do the Trumas Hadeshen was going to go on his own in the dark of the early morning, the early pre-morning, to go do the Trumas Hadeshen with no one around him, the other Kohen wanted to make sure that he would do Kiddush Yodayim V'Raglayim to sanctify his feet and hands before doing the Trumas Hadeshen. And, the way to make sure that he would do that was, they told him, don't even touch the kli before you first do Kiddush Yodayim V'Raglayim. Furthermore, they would tell him, V'rei HaMachta, the shovel is Nesuno B'Mikzoa Ben HaKevesh LaMizbeach B'Ma'arovo Shal Kevesh. It's placed in the corner between the ramp and the Mizbeach on the western side of the ramp. So they would tell him where to find the shovel for the Trumas Hadeshen, and they would remind him that he should wash his hands and feet before doing the Trumas Hadeshen. Ein Adam Nichna Simo, no one would go with him, Veloner Biyado, he didn't have a candle in his hand. Elamahalich Lo'ara Ma'arofa, he would walk by the light that was produced by the pyre on top of the Mizbeach. Lo'hoyu Ro'ino So, the other Kohanim didn't see him, Velo'hoyu Shomin his Kolo, and they didn't even hear his voice in any way. At Shahayu Shomin Kol Ha'esh Asa Ben Katin Muchni Lakior, until they would hear the sound of the wood that Ben Katin had made as a wheel for the kior, vehem omrim higia esman kiddush vehem omrim higia es kiddush yado v'raglov min akior. The time has come for this Kohen to sanctify his hands and feet from the kior. Again, just to explain what is going on over here, they created in the second Beis Hamikdash period a system by which they would lower the kior into an underground well, to keep it overnight. If they had kept the water of the kior up above on ground level overnight, the water would have been pasul belina. It would have become pasul disqualified because it was left overnight. So therefore, they devised a system by which the kior was lowered into this well below ground level overnight. The wheel which was created for that, kind of, you know, like a pulley system, was created by an individual by the name of Ben Cotton. The kior was lowered. So the first thing that this Kohen would do, would he would have to pull up via the pulley the kior that was underground. When the Kohanim heard the sound of the kior being pulled up from underground, they said, "Ah, it's time for him to do Kiddush Yodayim V'Raglayim." The person who was doing the Trumas Hadeshen, not Hamachta Sakesef, the person doing the Trumas Hadeshen would take the silver shovel. For all the Rosh Mizbeach, he'd go up to the top of the Mizbeach. Pinois Hagicholim Heloch, he would push away the coals to each side. Choses Hamukolos Hapnimios, and he would scoop up the innermost coals, the ones that were most consumed, the ones that were most consumed. Yarad Higia the Ritzpa, he would come down with those coals, which were basically ash, you know, at that point. He would come down to the floor of the Azara. Hafach Panav Litzafon, he would turn his face towards the north. Holech B'Mizrachos Shokevesh Ke'eser Amos,
he would walk about 10 amos, about 20 feet to 15, 20 feet on the eastern side of the ramp. Savar es agicholim agabe rizpa. He would pile up the coals on top of the floor. Rachok min hakevesh losha tvachim. Three tvachim, three handbreadths away from the kevesh, from the ramp. Makom shenosin muro sa'of v'dishim mizbeach hapnimi. That was the same place where they would take the crop of the Olas Sa'of, as described actually in this week's Parsha, and in other words, the bird carbon, they would put a certain, the crop of it, the gizzard, they would put over there, and that's also the same place where the ashes from the Mizbeach HaPnimi, from the inner Mizbeach, were deposited. Again, there was a certain place on the floor of the Azara, V'dishra Menorah, and the ashes of the Menorah were placed there as well. In other words, that's how we did the mitzvah of the Trumas Hadesh. That's the end of the Mishnah. The Gemara then asked the following question. Earlier in the Mishnah, we described how the two sets of Kohanim, early in the morning, would be walking around the periphery of the Azara. And how did they walk? There was this place called the Achsadra. The Achsadra went around the periphery of the Azara. It was columns with a roof. And the assumption is that the columns that we're speaking about were wooden columns, because that's apparently how it was standard to billet it in those days. The columns were made out of wood. So could they have wooden columns in the Azara, in the courtyard? V'otani Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, we learned in the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, minayin shein osen achsadros b'azara. You're not allowed to make wooden columns in the courtyard. Why? Talmud lomar lo sita l'cha asheira kol eitzel mizbach Hashem alokecha. The pasuk says you're not allowed to plant an asheira, a tree of avodah zarah, by the Mizbeach. But the pasuk not only prohibits, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, the planting of an Avodah Zarah tree, it says karlates. Any kind of wood is not allowed to be in the vicinity of the Mizbeach, in the Azara. So how could they have wooden columns over there? Hachi ka'amar, lo sita l'cha asheira, lo sita l'cha karlates, eitzel mizbach Hashem alokecha. The Gemara explains that, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, there are two prohibitions in the pasuk. Losit elcha asheira, don't plant an avodah zarah tree, and losit elcha kol eitz, don't plant any kind of tree. Eitzel mizbach Hashem elokecha. In other words, you can't plant an asheira anywhere, and you can't plant any kind of wood, you can't establish any kind of wood in the azara, in the vicinity of the mizbeach. So how could they have wooden columns? So the answer says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chisda Bach Sadra, Shol Binyan, the columns were actually made out of stone, which was apparently atypical in those days. It's so atypical that the Gemara does not assume that that would be the case, but it must be that that was the case in order to avoid this prohibition against making wooden columns in the Azara. Finally, we say Hayubodkin v'Holchin v'Chule, that these two groups of Kohanim would walk around the periphery of the Azara, making sure that everything was in order, until they got to the place where the Chavitin, the pancakes that were brought by the Kohen Gadol as a carbon every day, were made. And then when they finished their checking out of everything, they would put a group of people in charge of creating the Chavitin. L'meimra de Chavitin havo kedimi. Does this mean that the Chavitin were offered up first thing in the morning? They're getting ready very, very early in the morning to make Chavitin. It sounds like the Chavitin were the first order of business. Vatanya, but we learn minayin shein dover kodol tamid shel shachar tamulam va'arach aleh ha'olah. How do we know that nothing was offered up in the Beis Hamikdash before the tamid shel shachar, before the morning carbon, the morning daily carbon was offered up? It says va'arach aleh ha'olah. You know, after the olah, the tamid shel shachar. So after that, everything else was offered up. So they didn't do the Chavitin first, they did the Tamid Shel Shachar first. So V'amar Rabba Ha'ola Ola Rishona. In other words, why is it called Ha'ola, the Ola? Because it was the first carbon of the day. So Amar Rav Yehuda says, what's the answer? L'hachim chamin l'revicha. The point of what the Kohanim were doing was to heat up the hot water in order to scald the Chavitin, which apparently took a while. So, you know, they wanted to get a head start on doing that, even though the Chavitin themselves would only be offered up at a later point during the morning, after the Tamid Shel Shachar itself was brought. Okay, so we have just finished the first perek, so Mazel Tov, you've been on for 3 days, and already you finished the perek. Abezes Hashem, we will pick up next Sunday night. We're going to try to do the entire second perek, Bli Neder, Sunday night. That's not as daunting as it sounds. It's basically a little bit left on Chavches, Chavtes, and a little bit at the top of Lamed. We'll try to do that. It's basically a daf, a little bit more than a daf. We'll try to do that Sunday night at 8:30. I want to wish everybody a wonderful Shabbos, a good evening, and Be'ez Hashem, we should hear good things.